You'll open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. We'll look at the first eight verses in this chapter and a bunch of other scriptures as well, but in particularly Isaiah chapter 9. Dark times. We're in an election cycle now, and we have candidates out there saying we're in dark times and I'll bring us out to the light. I mean, don't we have people saying that? Don't we have candidates saying, well, you vote for me and I'll march you to the end of this tunnel and we'll see the light after the darkness. It's nothing new. Nations change. Nations go through bad times. People go through bad times. There's a darkness sometimes that settles over a people and over individuals and groups because we separate ourselves from God. We don't do things that we should be doing. We follow leaders who are going in the wrong direction, going away from God. Bad times happen. Sometimes bad times happen in spite of the fact that we ourselves are trying to be good. But there's still these dark times. And Isaiah had been talking to a people who were entering into dark times. Last week we saw Ahaz shaking in his boots because of his neighbors were about to invade, and he was worried about being dethroned. There were prophecies about the Assyrians coming and taking over the northern kingdom and flooding the south all the way up to the neck. Invaders, dark times. It was dark times because God's people had turned away from God and toward idols, and God was prophesying punishments and catastrophes and pleading with the people to change so that these things would not be necessary. And so in the midst of all of this preaching about dark times, this doom and gloom, in the midst of experiencing some of it, God provides this promise of hope. And it echoes, it echoes something we talked about last week too, a child that is going to be born to us. Let's look in chapter 9. And I'll read the first seven verses, and we'll talk about it piece by piece. Chapter 9, verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later, it shall be made glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence and with the gladness of harvest as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. You shall break the yoke of their burden on the staff of their shoulders and the rod of the oppressor as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and the cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So here Isaiah is in the midst of preaching punishment against Zebulun and Naphtali in the region of Galilee and all of those people living there at that present time. And he's saying it's not always going to be like that. There's going to be a time of restoration. There's going to be a time of joy, a time of peace, a time of light. A light was going to dawn in that darkness. And there will be good times ahead because a child was going to be born to us of very special qualities. A leader would be born to them of very special qualities. In verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. The fate of a nation, the fate of a group, a lot of times depends on the quality of its leaders. Isn't that right? If a leader does a really horrible job, if a leader is really wicked, eventually calamity will come to that people. Our history books are filled with that sort of thing. We can watch it happening in the Middle East even now. And we can hold our breath wondering about what other kinds of leaders are going to come up and whether these people are going to be in darkness again. But what God is saying here is there after this time of darkness, because Israel had followed after false gods, they no longer followed after their God, they followed after bad leaders who helped them follow after false gods. There was coming a king who was going to get it right. There was coming a king who was going to show the right way. There was coming a king who was going to produce peace and freedom and life and light. And he was talking about Jesus. Isaiah was writing at this time, somewhere around 735 BC, approximately, give or take. But he was talking about Jesus. Matthew quotes this and sees this as a prophecy of Jesus' Galilean ministry in particular. A light dawning on Galilee of the Gentiles. Where did Jesus make his headquarters? In Capernaum, right on the Sea of Galilee, right in this region where this light is supposed to dawn. Matthew got it. He knew, well, through the Holy Spirit, he knew that this was the fulfillment of it. And what was the fulfillment? Jesus came. Jesus came. Jesus was the king that was going to bring what was right and what was good and what was holy and what was true to his people. And just take a look. The joy that Jesus would bring, think about it. The joy that, and the first part of this, light in a dark land, abundance, joy, gladness, the kind of gladness that would come in victory. Well, isn't that what we have in Christ? Isn't it? Aren't we oppressed? Haven't we been oppressed by sin, oppressed by ignorance, oppressed by lawlessness, oppressed by our own guilt? Haven't we just been set free? Haven't we been set free for eternal life and free from the fear of death? Don't we enjoy this kind of gladness? Don't we enjoy this kind of light and this kind of life? That's what Jesus came to give us. It's not doom and gloom. It's not shaking in our boots, waiting for the axe to fall. We have freedom and we have life and we have joy. And this is what Jesus came to bring. It wasn't just, he wasn't just an ordinary king who is going to fix our economy. You know? Well, we'll get the unemployment rate down to 6% under my rule. No, it was more than that, wasn't it? When Jesus came, he came to set us free. He came to give us eternal life. He came to give us light. And notice in verse 6, what is this child like? A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. That's not an ordinary child, is it? We talked about another child, a child that was prophesied about in chapter 7 last time. What was his name? Emmanuel, right? God with us. There would be a child who was not just going to be an ordinary child, a child born of a virgin who would be God with us. What is this child's name? What is this child like? Wonderful Counselor. A lot of people would agree with that. Nobody ever taught like Jesus taught. Nobody knew things like Jesus knew. Nobody knew the heart of man like Jesus did. Wonderful Counselor. Even people who don't really believe who Jesus is admit that he's one of the world's great teachers, don't they? But he was more than that, wasn't he? He was Mighty God, Eternal Father. And this is something that's hard for people to wrap their minds around. It's hard for all of us to wrap our minds around, really. But what it means is that God himself came so that we might have light. The one born and who was swaddled in that manger was God become flesh. God with us. The Holy One came. And here Isaiah was prophesying that over 700 years before it happened. And I'm sure the Jewish people would be scratching their heads about all this. What's all this about? We do. But that's what happened. That's what's happened. What kind of king do we have in Jesus? We have God who came to save us, don't we? We have God with us. We have God who gave us life. We have God who gives us light. We have God who gives us peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And it says here, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. So do we have to worry about a change of regime? If we belong to Christ's kingdom, do we have to worry about the next election? Spiritual election? There isn't any next spiritual election. We got the right one. We don't have to change, do we? We don't want to change, and we won't change. We're grateful because our King is eternal. Our Savior is eternal. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and for all eternity. And the same Savior who saved us in the beginning is saving us now and will carry us through all the way to the end. Now, we can have hard times here and now, but if we're in Christ, we do have that light at the end of the tunnel, don't we? We have God's light within us. We have God's life within us. And that isn't going to end. It isn't going to perish. And whatever happens to us here on this earth, whatever our country goes through, whatever our state goes through, whatever our county goes through, whatever our families go through, we still have Christ, we still have life, and we have light. And we belong to him, and we hold on to him, and we have that joy that nobody else can take away. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, sometimes, you know, we get distracted, and I'm admitting it for myself, and I'm guessing it's true for you too. We get so distracted with the stuff of this world. The shallow desires of this life, the needs of this life, the irritations of this life, the worries of this world, we lose sight of what Jesus actually did for us and who it is that we actually follow. Oh, the world's going to come to an end if so-and-so doesn't get elected or re-elected or whatever. Oh, we belong to a better kingdom than that, okay? We belong to a better kingdom than that. Oh, the world's going to come to an end if I lose my job. Oh, we have a better employer than that. We have a better boss than that. We have a better future than that. Let's remember that, shall we? We belong to an eternal kingdom with an eternal king who's better than David because he's God himself. He knows what we've gone through because he lived like we lived, and yet he is God with us as well. And that's what Isaiah was promising. And that promise was going to be seen in Israel. It was going to be seen through Jesus proclaiming the truth in Galilee, and it was seen most of all in the cross and the empty tomb. But that is what was for us, and that's what Isaiah was prophesying about for us. So my encouragement to us this morning is to bear that in mind and walk with a little joy in your step, okay? We get so distracted that we start to forget. We belong to a kingdom that is untouchable. We belong to a kingdom that is the kingdom of light. And the gloom that we have now is dissipating. The dawn is, the sun is coming up, and the light is dawning. So let's walk like children of light, because that's what we are. If you have any prayer requests, if you want to find out more about this and you don't know that much about our Lord, we'll be happy to teach you more. There's an awful lot to say, but it's really simple. So please come forward as we stand and as we sing.